The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does, doesn't it, brother?
It does.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, Wynn?
I'm doing well. And you, brother?
Fun never stops, as Mark Kett says.
Yeah.
Too many marks.
Yeah. It does stop. Sometimes it stops.
It does stop.
Screeching halt.
It stopped yesterday. I'm telling you. Travis, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah. Good to see you guys.
Well, also here this morning with Katie Gorman. How you doing, Katie?
Great.
Try to rope her in here whenever we can. Going to make a radio host out of her sooner or later. And Tim Garman.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, brother?
Good, thank you, Terry.
Good. We've got a couple of things we're going to go through, but before we do that, we want to let you know that we're broadcasting live on KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM. Your talk radio here in downtown Reading. You also can stream us live on KCNR1460.com, and we podcast all over the world. And people really do listen to us from all over the world.
Yep.
I don't know if they do the local program, but they listen to us. We know that because we actually have had correspondence. Where was it? In Germany?
Germany. Well, and also we get funding for our radio show from different people that, you know, like to donate and so forth. And they send it from Japan, Australia, England, Canada. So, yeah.
Wow.
Got it covered.
Wow. You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I'm here.
How about you two? Are you two bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning?
I'm here.
You can take me.
So, Katie, did you have a good time last night?
We had a wonderful time.
And tell
time.
Us about and that, not, a little bit about that.
I didn't even do too bad. I woke up this morning still feeling good, so I did too good. I did good. We had a fundraiser for our new 501c3 that we started, Unite the Fight. Just to help people locally understand how important our local government is and just education and that whole education side of things. And we had a fantastic time. We had some auction items, and we just had a great time and had fun. Dill's Deli food was so good.
Isn't it great?
Still thinking about it. Oh, it was delicious. So, great time.
And we are here with Tim Garman, and Tim is going to be running for District 2 supervisor in Shasta County right now. He is a school board president, and we're going to talk to him about school boards this morning. I think that a lot of people really don't understand what the mechanism is of a school board, what the jurisdiction is, what their function is. And so I'd like to just give us a little bit of that, Tim, because that'd be a good insight for folks. Katie also is a teacher, so we have them both here so we can get some good insight on this. Go ahead, folks.
We'll try not to argue back and forth too much, you know, with the board and the teachers, but we'll keep it peaceful this morning. The number one function of the school board is to keep the school doors open. And basically our main job is to hire a superintendent, and that superintendent, for the most part, runs every aspect of the school from there on out. Now, the school board will make decisions on the monetary side of things and the budgeting, just like you would expect. But it is the superintendent's job to hire and fire, and so to speak, when it comes to that. Our job is to hire or fire the superintendent. So in a nutshell, that's the number one function.
Okay. Now, when you hire this superintendent, what do you look for? As a school board president, what do you look for in a superintendent? What is it? What are some of the traits you look for, and what would you look for in that? Because I think we have an election for that coming up soon. So
we do. I would look for just some budgeting skills, somebody who's got a record, track record of being in that position before, if possible. It doesn't always work out that way, but you look for experience. Then you look for somebody who gets the position and knows the how to handle the principals and the students and staff. Because it's a big part of being a superintendent is communication with your with the rest of your staff. If you don't have a good communicator, it will not work.
So now, what would be some of the things that a superintendent might do, especially in the environment now that we have in the schools, the mandates, et cetera? What would be some of the things that you would look at and say, hey, this isn't something you really should be doing, or what do you use as a criteria?
That's a hard one, Terry, with what's going on right now, because the superintendent's hands are tied, according to the state mandates. They risk losing their credentials, which, right or wrong, that's the fear that they are living under and operating under in today's world. It's not right.
Well, no, it's not.
Can you, can retain them as their, your superintendent with or without a credential, can you not?
We probably could with that win, but the problem is, they're gonna, if they lose their credential, their fear is my career is gone.
Right.
And they've worked so hard to get to that point, and they're being pressured by above or harassed or whatever you want to call
blackmailed.
It. Blackmailed. Blackmailed. There's a perfect term for it, blackmailed, because they are being blackmailed.
But isn't this temporary?
Is it?
It is.
Well,
It will pass.
Every
restraining
order. Yeah,
in 5 years, within yes, 5 years, it will pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will pass, like everything
right.
else.
But are they going to give them their certificates back or certifications back?
Well, they should never take it in the
they
first place.
They should not. And that's where
and that's
legal what, issues are going to come into play with this at some
and
point.
So then the school board should interpose. They should step in.
They should.
And stand between the superintendent yep. and the state.
See,
every governing body has a responsibility to interpose.
Right.
To stand in between the people who they represent and the state.
Hey, this is where it gets really, really hard, because as a school board, we can step in. We can say, nope, we're not going to let that happen.
Right.
But it's out of our control. We are not the ones who certificate those positions, right?
Right.
And then you have legal counsel saying, I'm sorry, they still have to obey the law, even if the board decides to break it.
Even if it's unlawful.
Even if it's unlawful.
Damn.
So that's the pressure that they are dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And it's why you see so many superintendents not taking any kind of action. Okay. And this goes on to teachers as well. For instance, Katie, she's with liability. She could possibly lose her teaching certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I have actually been threatened with the exact same thing, stating that the state gives me my credential so the state can take my credential away.
Is there an expiration on your credential?
Every 5 years I do have to renew my credential, but mm-hmm. I do have a clear credential. So,
okay.
So that's the other aspect that they're saying basically is there's clauses within our credential or even like our contracts stating that we have to abide by, you know, quote unquote law. We know mandates are not laws, but that's how they come at us with this, and they pressure us with this and say, you know, if we're not being responsible, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, you know, you're going to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a lot of pressure, and it is scary. And when we started getting those letters, you know, in our email boxes about testing and things like that, you know, I had a panic attack. My heart was just beating out of my chest, just so scared, thinking, I'm going to lose my job and, you know, I'm not going to be there for my students. they really know exactly what to do to make you, you know, quote unquote, comply.
Push the button.
Blackmail. Just yep. like Terry yep. said, it's blackmail.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and you made such a good point about that, how they, you know, the credentials are a big thing. And I think that there's a lot of times when people say, well, you know, hey, you've got to stand for liberty. You've got to stand for it. But it's different when you got kids to feed, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in a lot of cases, you can kind of see that side. Although really and truly, if we don't stand up against this tyranny and we stop submitting to this tyranny, that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
Now, also, Tim, out of this, you stood up, got a lot of recognition for standing up for the kids. You want to tell us a little bit about how that worked?
Yeah, what we did is, I think it was early October when Governor Newsom came out and said, we're going to force the mandates on the kids' vaccines. Mm-hmm. Once it becomes approved, it will either be January or July of 2022, supposedly. Well, we jumped ahead of it and said, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. And we voted in our October school board meeting to say, no, we will not enforce the mandates for the kids to be vaccinated in order to attend school. As far as I know, we were one of the first schools in California, if not the first, to do that. And it did catch some attention, which is what I was hoping it would do with the other schools. I never really wanted any other attention, but I wanted to get attention of the schools and the school boards so we could hopefully get other people to think the same way we do and join forces with us because there's power in numbers. It's a lot harder for the state to come after one little school district in Happy Valley as opposed to coming after 50 or 200,
yes,
right?
Right.
So now, and that did happen. We actually got a lot of support. Excuse me. A lot of resolution letters have been sent, which it's a start, but they don't really have the legs to stand on. But it is a start. It has sent a message to Sacramento. I think I just saw the other day where L.A. Union pushed their vaccine mandates back till the fall of 2022.
Oh, okay.
Okay, which is interesting because that means that school board took that action to do that.
So they bought a year is what they
did. So they bought a year.
Yeah.
But what we're being told is we don't have any legs to stand on with that because it's not an official mandate yet.
Right.
Okay, that's what our legal counsel was telling us. We did it anyway.
Crime obviously, hasn't been committed yet.
They did it as well. But the reason they did it is because they had already put the mandate into effect. They weren't going to wait until the governor's orders, and it backfired on them. So they had a ton of kids not go to school.
So legal counsel is waiting for harm to be done to the children before they'll give you permission to stand up?
Pretty much.
Well, there has to be something passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's got to be a crime committed, so I understand
right,
where they're coming
right,
from.
Right, right. That's exactly what they're saying, and I understand that. But with our vote, we just simply said, when it becomes effective, we will not enforce this.
Okay, well, that's the part about the vaccine. Okay, well, what if the superintendent says, well, it's a mandate, I have to follow it, then where do you stand with that?
Then we got a fight in our hands. Because if our superintendent comes back and says, by law, I have to do this or I'm going to lose my credential, then it'll become the point where our school board's going to have to go talk with the superintendent and say, we love you, we really want you here, but that credential is not what's in. That's not my job. Is not to protect your credential. My job is to protect the kids, right? Those are going to trump that at that point, but that's where it would have to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Katie? Yeah, 100%. I love what you said right there, Tim. You really have a great handle on what your job is as a representative of your parents and the people. And you guys, is it correct? You could do even the teachers and parents could do like a vote of no confidence?
You could absolutely do the vote of no confidence. There's different ways, but obviously we don't want to go there. We really do like our superintendent, but at the bottom line, if it gets to that point where one of us has to give, the board will not give. It just, we won't.
Well, and you can also retain your superintendent in their position without that credential.
I would have to look
at
that way.
Is there any quote unquote law that says you have to have a superintendent with a specific credential?
Yeah, I believe it is in Ed Code.
Okay, yeah. So that's tied to funding then.
Yeah, we'd have to pull the Shasta
Ed
County
Code
Special
is,
to reposition her somewhere else or create a job.
Yeah.
Just to sort of, I'm not going to really leap ahead here, but folks, this first half hour we're going to spend on this subject, but the second half hour we're going to talk about Tim Garmon, the candidate, and we're going to talk about some different issues that are going on here. But staying with the subject that we're on right now, it seems to me that the state mandates not being law, I mean, to me, it's just beyond the pale that you have a situation where there is where there's actually nothing we can do to stop something that's not lawful. I mean, you know, I won't get into the Constitution of California right now, but I will in the second half of this program. But to me, I'm just thinking that there has to be something to where I know that going on the news media was really good. Katie, you were on Fox News. That was very helpful. Tim, I think it would be great if you were on. I know. Have you been on yet or no?
No.
Something to where we need to really push this media thing. And, you know, I think that Carl Bott should have both of you on. And we should be doing something where we're pushing the media, and not the simple, lazy questions, but the questions that we're talking about here. Now, let's just say that we go down the road here, and the mandate does come out on the vaccines. The superintendent is trying to enforce those. You have to let him go, and then the legal battle happens. What would happen with the kids in school? How would the school system work? How would it function without the superintendent, et cetera?
Well, I don't think we'd have a school if that goes into effect, because half of our kids are not going to come to school.
There you go.
Right? It's just, that's why we jumped ahead of this. We saw the writing on the wall. Nobody else wanted to admit it. Maybe it's the elephant in the room that this is going to happen.
Right.
And then when Katie did the school walkout, when that thing kind of got organized and we got in touch, it's like the timing was just, it was one of those perfect timing events where we met. Okay, because yeah, we didn't know each other, but yet we had each had the exact same vision for what was going to happen to our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in order to save them, this is what we did. I was for the walkouts, which as a school board president, I shouldn't be. Right? But if you didn't make that statement, then we weren't going to have a school to have in January or July of 2022.
Well, and the beauty of this whole thing, if you want to look at it that way, is that it's forced people that don't or haven't walked on the same path to come together.
Yeah.
And not only come together, but, you know, developing those networks and sharing ideas and concerns. And it starts out with the concerns. Seriously, looking at those things, how do we address this issue? And then just brainstorming and everybody coming together with all facets of it. You know, you're coming from the school board side of it. Katie's coming from the education and teaching side of it. And there are others in between and all around. You have all the service staff. You have everybody else that comes in. Then you have the parents and the children, who it's all about anyway.
Right.
That's who it's all about.
Yep.
We're all supposed to be circling around every single one of
those
children.
That's who I work for, is the kids.
You look at and take care of those kids. And you both have said that multiple times.
Yep.
You're there for the kids. And so that's what it all boils down to. What gets me is, okay, this is all being handed down from the Capitol, meaning the state Capitol. What are they really doing? They're giving us this. They're just making all this stuff happen by just saying these things that aren't law, because they know it's not law. They know what they're doing. They're causing a frenzy within the school districts and so forth, and just the communities in general. What are they really doing behind the scenes? Not regarding any of this, they're doing something more heinous. They're doing something a lot more detrimental to all of us.
And our kids are pawns in their game.
And our kids are pawns once again.
Yep.
So they're using this as a thing to keep everybody busy, keep everybody going. Everybody's focused on this. And then they're over here doing something else. It's a shell game. And so what are they really doing that is, again, much more heinous? And I always think outside the box when I see things come down and say, okay, what do they really want? They're not just doing that, because that's way too simple. They're doing something else. But we have to deal with these issues, and we have to fight back, and we have to do everything that you guys are doing wholeheartedly. But what else are they doing? And I always question that, always, because you can't trust any one of those guys down in Sacramento. Our representatives are not representing us.
We
do
have
a caller on the line. I don't care what party and everything else. So I just always question that.
We do have a caller on the line. And sorry, Wynn, I just want to get to him before we have to break.
Okay.
Steve, do you have a question for Tim or Katie? What say you?
No, I don't have a question. I disagree with what Wynn was just saying.
Sure.
You know, Texas is becoming a sovereign state. They're putting up the wall to protect themselves and their country and the United States from all these immigrants coming in. So it's time, you know, the lady there, she talked about her teacher credentials, and every 5 years, they probably raise her amount that she has to pay for that credential. I know as a contractor, my amount has gone up $300 in the last 20 years for my contractor's license every couple years. So, I mean, again, and we all know this, we're talking to the choir with each other about the tyranny of California. So, truly, we just have to step away. The teachers and the parents will have their own schools. We'll use our buildings and teach our kids in our educational system, not theirs. And it's going to come to that. And all of this corruption that they're showing us, it's just more proof to the pudding to the people who are not awake yet. And, you know, it's a positive movement that's happening. They're showing their blackness, their corruptedness, you know, so loud and clear to everybody, it's hard for anybody not to see it anymore. So we go all the way down to the bottom to come all the way back up again. And we will, because we are who we are. And thank you very much for your show. I just wanted to show my encouragement and put the words out there for all of us to stand strong and look forward with positive attitudes. And God is at the top of all of this. Morals, integrity, and value is in through God. And if we have God in our consciousness, every one of us, then we can bring this back to where it belongs, God and the Constitution. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Can I respond to Steve there?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, one of the things that I think we're dealing with is with the schools. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought. Let me get Go ahead and just talk for a minute there, Terry.
So what Steve was saying was very, very exactly what I was thinking about, kind of why I was listening to you, Wynn, is one of the biggest things about the walkout that I felt like it did is it unified so many of us. And this is not a political party line. I have so many people mm-hmm. on our side on this issue it's a purple issue, basically, over the whole spectrum. And that's really big that it unified people. The other really big thing that it did organize us. And in my school district, we're now up to 22 people refusing to test. Not a single person at my school district has lost their credential, has been fired, sent to a Skelly hearing. Yet we have school districts here in Shasta County that have already scheduled Skelly hearings to get those teachers' credentials taken away or to get their jobs taken away. And then we have a aide who month before, I think it was September, was employee of the month for their huge district here in this county. And yet she's one of the ones going to a Skelly hearing. So mass noncompliance is what we need right now, because we can fight it by sending letters to Newsom, all that stuff, but the fastest and best way to get all of this to go away is to just not do it.
Not comply.
We're not submitting. We're not complying. We're not doing anything that we don't agree with and we don't believe is.
Yeah, because they can't lay off half of the school employees if they don't test, right?
Right, right.
So I think what Katie's saying is right on.
Well, I have a question, too, on the testing. Are they using clean swabs with nothing on them? Because that is huge as well, because the crap that's on those swabs. And I know this because my wife is a teacher, mm-hmm. and her district wanted to test, and she was promised there would be clean swabs. She went into, you know, she finally decided, okay, well, I'll just go test and find out. She went in there, and she asked if the swab was clean, and asked to look at the chemical balance on it. It wasn't clean.
Ethylene oxide.
Yes. You don't put...
known cancer-causing agent.
Carcinogens. You don't put those into your body. Right. Not intentionally, that's for sure. So she said, sorry, not going to happen. And the district realized that they didn't have clean swabs when they told staff that they had them.
Exactly,
and
what
been
happened
doing
in
that.
My district. Yeah. They lied.
What district was that, Wynn?
Anderson Unified.
Anderson Unified, folks.
Yeah. Hey, I want to respond to Steve here. I got my thought back, you guys. Thank you for being patient with me. Steve, one of the things you were talking about was maybe the homeschools, it sounded like, is where you were going with that conversation. With so many kids to school being forced out with the vaccines. The problem is out in Happy Valley where I am, our area is very poor, and our kids rely on our school for not only their education, but they rely on it for breakfast and for lunch and a safe place to be half of the time. So if those public schools are forced to close, it's just such a detriment to the right. kids who don't have the option of going to a homeschool program,
right.
which you're seeing pop up all over the place. And are being before COVID, there was 2.5 million kids that were homeschooled. Now there's 5 million. Okay. So that tells you right there how much the homeschool programs are growing.
Double.
It's great for the kids who can do it. I have no issues with that. That should be an option for the parents.
Right.
But the ones who struggle, they don't have the funds to do it.
Right.
It's just, we're just killing our future.
We have about 2 minutes to the break.
Okay.
So, when did you have another question?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, Katie, you had something that you looked like you wanted to add.
Oh, no, I was just going to say about what Tim was talking about, these kids, underprivileged kids. That's the group of kids that I work for, and that was really what pushed me over the edge to make my stand that I'm making now, because these parents are, it's the ultimate coercion. You know, you can't go to work because your kid is being sent home and quarantined over and over and over again. Oh, unless you go in and test them with these cancer-causing agents and mm-hmm. things like that. To me, you know, testing was not my line, but it turned out to be my line because I did not like the fact that it was next coming to our students. And right now, as we speak, that's what they're doing to our kids.
Well, we have about 20 seconds left here. I want to let everybody know that you can call in and ask Tim or Katie a question. Please feel free to do that. Area code 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Take his mask and shove. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look
at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store. Don't even try to make me put it on or I'm walking out the door. Take this mask and shut. I've been shopping in this place for almost 15 years. And I've seen all kinds of viruses, but I've never lived in fear. Now I know that Corona's real and it probably ain't a lot to ask. But I ain't a bank robber and I ain't the Lone Ranger and I don't want to wear this mask. Take this mask and shove it. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm the devil when I don't wear it in the store.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Stand and deliver. You let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. Not a word you heard is true. But if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do.
Oh, there's plenty we can do.
Stand and deliver. Yeah, I like that song.
We're here with Tim Garman. He is running for District 2 Supervisor in Shasta County. And if you have a question or comment, you can call in to 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. How are you, my friend?
Good. Thank you guys for having me in this morning.
You bet. There's a couple of things that have happened over the last week that have been, well, pretty insane. The new mask mandate and that sort of thing. And we'll get into a little bit of that, some things that have happened recently. But first of all, I want to ask you what it is that is your primary goal as a supervisor, number one. And number two, what do you believe that we should be doing as far as these government mandates? Where would you stand as a supervisor? Those two questions.
Okay. The first one, Terry, with the primary goal is I want to bring some trust back to the people from the Board of Supervisors position. The gentleman in the District 2 who we're trying to recall has lost the trust of the people.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's probably putting it mildly.
Yeah.
But I want to bring that trust back, and I want to get out there. I want to get some community engagement, some transparency. And you do that by just going out and talking to people, showing up at the fire board meetings, showing up at the water board meetings, showing up at whatever different events you can. But get out there in the public, listen to them, see what they want, and then you can make some change. As far as the mandates, they're not even law at this point.
Right.
Okay, they're still just mandates, which means we should have the option to say no thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's something I will absolutely push.
So what do you feel is the number one problem right now in Shasta County?
Oh, gosh, Terry. there's so many problems. Where do I start?
I know.
You know, I'm going to give you probably a different answer than I might have had last week. The answer I have today is the excuse me, the retirement. How are we going to pay for the retirement of all of our officials?
All the unfunded liability.
CalPERS. I'm hearing we could be $1 billion into that.
Yep.
And that has to be addressed now, because if you don't address that and start figuring out how to pay for it now, this county is done.
Well, we just gave raises.
25% in some cases, right?
Oh, I've got that.
I think we have problems.
Yeah,
right,
I think
there.
So. Yep.
Whether that's the number one problem is debatable, but that is a huge, huge problem that has to be addressed immediately. Otherwise, we're going to keep going down that path, and we're going to turn that billion into 2 or 3 or 4. We just can't.
Right.
Even though Sacramento keeps dishing out the money, that's going to stop someday. The other problem is obviously the mandates. They're ridiculous. You get people being harassed by going into the stores for not wearing a mask. Come on. These people don't know my medical history to sit there and tell me what I should or shouldn't do with my body. No.
Mm-mm.
So that needs to be addressed as well. So those are probably a couple of the hot topics. And then, the schools need help. And I know that the supervisors now say there's nothing they can do. It's all in the local school boards. One of the frustrating things I've heard from the supervisor meetings that I go to every week is just a citizen, is I keep hearing, I'm just going to go ahead and say the name. Sorry to throw you under the bus, Mary, if you're listening, but she mentions every week, well, I have meetings with the superintendents. I have meetings with the principals. Not once have I heard her say, I've had meetings with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
That's the missing link, right? No,
yep.
It bugs me. It's like, how are you going to get the full story just by talking to these people over here who feel like they're being pressured to follow the state law when all these parents are saying, we're going to pull our kids out of school? So at least they can write a resolution letter to the state, being the supervisors. They won't even do that.
Well, what about when you become supervisor, which is going to come up in February? Why not make it one of the first courses of actions that you're going to protect the credentials of the superintendents and of the teachers of our county? Because you're going to stand in between the state and those teachers and superintendents, that if they decide to go against what the mandates are, you're going to help protect them and their credentialing. That would be, to me, that would be one of the things that could easily happen, with 5 board members unanimously deciding to protect the credentialing of the teachers and the superintendents against the state over what the state is trying to mandate that we all know is garbage. I would stand on that one every day.
Yeah,
I would stand right there, because you know you're protecting the kids through that action by protecting the teachers and the superintendents. You're protecting them so they can protect the kids. So that's what we have to do. So I would tell the state, go pound sand. You're not taking the credentials from our teachers or our superintendents or anybody else that has to have any kind of a certification.
I'm not sure where that would go. It's something that needs to be looked into. I don't know where the county supervisor's role would play into that, the jurisdiction part of it.
Yeah.
We can certainly come out and say that. We need a county school superintendent to come out and say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would help our case a lot. But if we all got on the same page, it would be a lot easier to protect our teachers and our
absolutely.
And our
well, you could
people.
Hit that through basically it's a medical issue. See, that's been the whole thing. I mean, maybe that's the elephant in the room. It's a medical issue. It really isn't any kind of political issue. It's a medical issue. You know, if we know that the swabbing has chemicals on it that could be cancer-causing, if we know that the mask creates discomfort and also can lead to different types of illnesses, if we know that the vaccine that's not even really a vaccine is being given to our children or forced upon our children, I mean, who has the liability if one of them gets sick? See, that's the whole thing too. You have practicing medicine without a license. You have liability. There's going to be lawsuits. And these aren't lawsuits that are going to go to court for 10 years. These are lawsuits that are going to be filed by parents because their kids got sick.
Right.
And I think one of the ways we do that, one of the things Leonard Modi said, when Jeremy Edwardson was talking to him about the $34 million at the last Board of Supervisors meeting during his public comment time, he had mentioned that, you know, we shouldn't take the $34 million because we could be tied into whatever Sacramento wants us to do for the next 5 years. And the answer of Modi was saying, well, are you serious? Did I really hear you say, I want to make sure I hear you say we don't need $34 million?
Yep.
Well, that's on the heels of already giving a raise out to someone like Karen Ranstrom, who makes around $21,000 a month. I'll say that again, $21,000 a month. Now, the raises that came up were so ridiculous. You know, we need the money, right? But our money's going where? To build government, to make more government. Now, what happened is that the Shasta County Citizen Journalists,
yes,
which is Richard
Gallardo
and
Lori Bridgeford.
They're just great people. They've done some really good research, and Richard did some research on this. And he said, I'd like to see what the salaries are. So he sent a letter to the county council to find out what the salaries were for the Health and Human Services, right? Well, he gets back this form, and this is some of the things that were in the form. First of all, some of the names were redacted. There were 27 redacted. And for those of you who live in Alpine County, that means they put a big black mark through it. So, you know, when you look at this, you know, there has to be a reason why they're redacted. This is what the deputy counsel of the county said. Her name is Natalia Ebersole. This is what she wrote. Names withheld where disclosure would pose a legitimate threat to their privacy rights. What? Their privacy rights? But 27 out of 900 and some odd. And related safety concerns. What safety concerns? Get this. Well, she also quoted California Government Code 6254C, which is baloney, and 6255. You can look those up, folks. The public interest in disclosing these employees' names is significantly outweighed by preserving their safety and well-being. I am the person responsible for this determination, Natalia K. Ebersole. What?
Is her name redacted?
No. And so that's what she writes back. So I'm thinking, well, gee, what do these people do that are redacted from this?
Right.
Many of them are simply eligibility worker supervisors. There's several that are employment training workers at a lower level, but there's a lot of them, but just a few of them are redacted. There is a public health nurse that's redacted. There's a couple of them. Office assistant number 3. The registered certified professor. All these different people that are redacted. Why would they be redacted? Now, and then I'll get done with this, so I want to get your response on all this. In the California Constitution, Article 1, Section 3, the people have the right to instruct their representatives, petition government, or address grievances, and to assemble freely and to consult for the common good. B, the people have the right to access information concerning conduct of the people's business and therefore the meetings of public bodies and writings of public officials and agencies shall be open to public scrutiny, which also offsets this closed meeting, these closed session meetings that they have. They're still liable to, according to Article 1, Section 3B, the public. And also these names should be available to the public according to the Constitution. So what's your thought process on that, and what would you do as supervisor?
Well, my first thought that comes to mind is there's no transparency.
You're right.
Okay. And where is it?
Yep.
And we need to bring it out because we have to.
You have to.
Okay.
You took an oath to it.
You take the oath. So the transparency needs to be dug out of there. And, yes, the names and all that should be coming out. I don't understand why. I'm sitting here thinking, I have no idea why they would do that other than they're trying to hide something.
Well,
that's the perception I have. Whether it's right or wrong, that's the natural perception that we are all going to have is, what are you hiding?
Right.
When you hide stuff like that. So we need to get there as become a supervisor, look at all this stuff, and take action.
And they're also, by redacting those names, they're asking for us to do some more digging. Had they not redacted them,
maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we can dig some more stuff out.
They always inadvertently shoot themselves in the foot when they do that. They always inadvertently do something foolish that tells us, maybe our spidey sense kicks in, and we decide, we need to do a little more digging on these. How come? Well, and then when you unearth whatever you find out, then you go through the whole list with more scrutiny.
Yeah.
So it always ends up being to the benefit of
we, the people that are looking to find that information out, if we think that way and just kind of find out what are they really trying to hide.
Yeah.
Well, two things here. One is it is a direct conflict with Article 1, Section 3.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We take the oath. So.
You take, well, it's just, it's against the law.
Yeah.
The California Constitution. And the other part of it that bothers me is public interest in disclosing these employees' names is significantly outweighed by preserving their safety and well-being. See, the thing I don't understand about that is we're talking about health and human services here. We're not talking about the FBI. We're not talking about looking into the DA's office. We're not talking about looking into the sheriff department or the police department. What the hell?
Right.
I mean, come on. What the hell?
This makes no sense.
And I really hope that Richard Gallardo does get the opportunity to go on maybe Carl Bott's show, KQMS, anywhere he can to discuss this, because this is absolutely crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, Terry. I don't have the answer to that. That there's no logical reason for that to happen.
And
the Constitution says we have the right to know.
Do you think that Natalia is falling on the sword for the county?
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. Yeah. I think you could probably see more of this happen as we go on.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Now, the other thing I wanted you to address is that we were talking about businesses yesterday.
She might have been pushed on it.
Yeah.
Instead of falling on it, she might be pushed onto that.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Really good point.
I wonder who's got their handprint in her back.
Yeah.
Maybe
somebody cruising.
Something.
Could be.
Get it?
Or running for a race?
Yeah. Before you move on, Terry, you brought up a lot there in that last little question. You brought up the $34 million. Okay, I do want to address that really quick.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine in January when that money comes through, they're going to accept that as the current supervisor board sits.
Right.
Okay? When I go in there in February, we're going to do everything we can as far as I'm going to do everything I can to say no thank you, take your money back.
Right.
Okay? We survived without that $34 million prior to COVID. Okay, I don't want those streets attached until December 31st, 2026. I don't want to have to follow whatever mandates come down.
2026.
Yes.
2026. Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever mandates they decide they want to come up with, we will have to follow.
They're making that decision now for it to happen all the way till that.
No, you cannot make a decision for 4 years out.
No.
No, that is not. It doesn't make sense in any kind of way, shape, or form, including economical. No, you can't do that. So that money will go back if I have any say-so in that, and I will push for that to happen. Okay, we need to take care of ourselves in Shasta County. We were surviving without it prior to this. Yeah, $34 million is a lot of money. I would love to have it in the coffers, but I don't want it with the strings attached.
Well, a couple things on that. One is, if we need the $34 million, then why did we spend millions of dollars on health and human services and other county employees? Millions. And the other part of that, because we had the money anyway. The other part of that, the way I understand it, and I could be wrong, if we don't follow the mandates, then we have to return the money.
Pay the money back. Yep.
So if we have to pay the money back anyway, it'd be sort of a moot point. Just say, hey, we're not going to follow them. How much do we owe you?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Instead of giving the money back, we just hold the taxes. You know, that we don't need to send to Sacramento.
Oh, the property tax.
Yeah, we just hold on to the money that we already have here generated in Shasta County through property, through consumer tax, you name it, all the taxes that we have. We just hold on to what we need to hold on to. And then when we find out if it's okay, if we have enough money to do everything we need to do in Shasta County for all the sovereign citizens here, then we can, you know, trickle down a little bit of money to the state.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's kind of like this with being on the school board, with what's happened there. If the mandates are pushed through, our public education system is going to be turned upside down.
Right.
It'll change before our very eyes.
Yep.
Okay? Maybe the same thing will happen with county governments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If it continues like it is, maybe this will get turned upside down as well, and we'll have to reverse course to how we take care of ourselves.
Right. Well, you look at one department hiring over 100-plus employees through this course of COVID. Since, mm-hmm. 2020, when COVID first came out.
Let's hide their names.
Yeah, and then we hide their names. So Health and Human Services has hired over 100 additional people into their department. They have over 900 people in their department. It's like, really?
Yeah.
At least that was the number that
was shared with me. So, and I haven't looked at that and I haven't vetted it, so I don't know that for sure, but that's what I was told on both the 100 plus and the 900. So if I'm wrong on that, I apologize, but I just, it's just dumbfounding to find out we have that many new people in during the course of this COVID debacle. And where's the money coming from?
Yeah, and all those long-term jobs, are they permanent jobs? There's so many questions that need to be
And they add to the unfunded liability of the billion dollars that we're going to have to pay for retirements and everything else.
Well, it might be $1.5 billion now.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, before we get to Dolores, though, I do want to bring up very quickly, everything you guys just said was spot on. To me, in looking at this, though, I mean, really and truly, we're not going to fix California. No. I mean, we are not going to fix California.
Nope.
We are not going to fix it. We have discretionary spending and mandatory spending. As long as the counties in California keep sending in the tax revenue, homeowners tax, blah, 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 as long as they keep doing that, 87% on the average, the state mandates on what we do in our own counties and our own communities. We only get to spend 13% of it on average. The other part of that is that the state takes a fee from us that's usually about 14% out of that. What if the state didn't take the 14% and we had 87% and the state only took 13%? Dolores, what say you?
Good morning. I was just going to say that I know that there's board of supervisors actually attend different meetings and they have, you know, they have to kind of I'm sorry, I lost my thought here. But I know that Modi actually sat on the financial committee there, and I know there's some records and documentation on the website that they're receiving money, okay, for the virus, the COVID-19. They're receiving money. So if they don't enforce it, they're actually committing fraud. So I know there's records on that. If you go under the committees they attend, there's documentation, and they have to report, and there's letters from the state. So that means they've been receiving money. That means they've been committing fraud because they have not been enforcing them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, there is something to verify that letter and the committee that he's been attending.
Thanks, Doris. And also, thank you for the information you're sending everybody. Continue to do that. It's great that you do that. And we need to involve as many people as we can in these correspondences that we have, because it's important that a lot of people know what the facts are. That's why we're bringing a lot of this stuff up. So, again, thank you, Dolores. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Hey, Tim, quick question. How do you feel about the stay-at-home mandate with masks?
The stay-at-home mandate with
masks? Yeah, you know, we're being told to stay home with our mask on at home. How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, it's like people driving around in their car with a mask on.
Exactly, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why? Yeah,
why?
Yeah. I just you know, had a question, so just ask me.
I got a quick story. We're gonna talk a lot tomorrow on our Mountaintop Media podcast. We're going to be talking about more about these redacted names, more about what's going on in Shasta County, more about where the money's going. We're also going to be talking about one other subject that I might be able to get into a little more detail on. But at this point, just to give you an idea, because Wynn brought it up about the masks, this is me going to the store yesterday. I'm driving down the road. As I'm driving down the road, there's an elderly lady driving with an elderly gentleman, both wearing masks in the car, and she makes a left turn in front of the car in front of me, not really giving him a lot of time. So there's a little bit of maneuvering by both cars, horn honking, and also the driver in the car that they pulled in front of was letting them know that they were number one. So that happened. The next thing that happened is I noticed going down the same road, this is all within a span of about 40 seconds, there's a car trying to pass another car on the right on gravel wearing a mask, and another car behind them that's trying to do it, but they didn't look like they were chasing each other. So I get to the store, and I walk in the store, and as I walk in, I can see that there's a young woman who is having a motivational discussion with the clerk inside the store, and as I walk in, I'm told, you need to wear a mask to come in the store, or you'll have to leave. And I said, well, I'm not going to leave, and I'm not going to wear a mask. And so I walk by, but they really didn't pay that much attention to me. They were too busy having this motivational discussion with this young lady who had been followed down the aisle by the store manager and had been told she needed to leave, she couldn't shop, you know, he could lose his job. Well, I went up and I got checked out by him, and I frequented the store before, so he knew me, and he did check me out. But he's shaking the whole time, and they're all going back and forth, and a young man comes in with two kids. As he walks in the door, one of the clerks say, you need to put a mask on. He says, I'm not putting a mask on my kids. And he turns around and walks out. While this is going on, again, this gentleman's checking me out. He's shaking. He's showing me a form from the corporation he works for, saying basically that if he doesn't comply with this and make sure people have a mask in the store, he's going to lose his job. So I just want your reaction to all that. And this all happened within about 5 minutes. So I went back home and I didn't get my car again.
Yeah, that's terrible. Number one, why are you chasing a young lady down the aisle?
Yeah.
Right? That is
scary.
I mean, that's scary for her.
He wasn't rude. Yeah. I mean, he was just afraid.
Still,
you're weird.
Bullying, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Obviously, he feels like he's being bullied from the top up to his company, or he wouldn't be taking this kind of action to be shaking. Yeah. He obviously legitimately fears his job and his livelihood and to feed his kids, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So I can see where he's coming from to a point, but you can't harass people over it. It's just not right. That is really, really... This has to stop. The madness has to stop, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and why can a governor come out and say, well, San Francisco, you don't have to wear a mask, but you do in Reading. The rest of the state.
Yeah.
Right. Why are there certain areas they don't have to wear a mask?
See, that's action without representation right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
we're not being represented.
So as a supervisor, I will do what I can to clean up our county and open up this county completely, because that is ridiculous.
Right.
Well, and another thing, Terry, too, is medically wise, my doctor knows what's best for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even a county public health department leader doesn't know my medical history.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. There's HIPAA laws to protect that. So why do they have the right to tell me or tell the store owner to tell me, that guy has to wear a mask. Maybe there's a reason why I don't wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe there's a reason why I can't take the vaccine. Maybe the vaccine would kill me. No, I'm hypothetically speaking here, but we don't know. I don't know what your history is, Wynn, or you, Terry, with your medical stuff.
Right.
So why are these people dictating our medical history when they don't even have a license to practice medicine?
And they have not spoken to
you. It's a problem.
Even if they did have that, they still haven't spoken to you and done a research on you, per se, for your body as to what could be detrimental for you.
No, it's...
They're not doing it.
It's terrible. And they're pushing this and pushing this. I'm going to take a little bit twist on it here real quick. I have two daughters who are type 1 diabetics, and my daughter had a service dog for many years. She could take that dog into any store she wanted,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they could ask. All she could say is, it's a service dog.
Mm-hmm.
From that point on, that store employee cannot ask what kind of service dog.
Right.
They can ask no more questions
mm-hmm.
in the store.
Right.
Why is this different?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right.
You know, we have about a minute left. Tim, I have to say that it's always a delight having you on. And the thing that makes me, the thing I really like about you that's a strong point is that you're kind of like, you know, you're one of us, and you're someone who's a person who isn't a bureaucrat, but somebody who wants to make a real change. So how can people get a hold of you? How can they donate to you? Go ahead, brother.
GarmanForSupervisor.com. That's GarmanFor, and then supervisor.com. Facebook page as well, Garmin for Supervisor. Cell phone, 530-357-4200. Call or text. I'll take either one. And I will respond to you whether you agree or not. You know, the conversations will be longer or shorter depending, but I will at least give you the time of day to respond, because that transparency is what we're looking for. The community engagement is what we want. We cannot become a better county without it. So that's where we're going.
Amen.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you for being on, and we'll talk again soon.
Yep.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Hey, CA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We have no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9.